The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me before any of that though, before our live studio audience, I was going to say, I'm not sure, live hotel audience. Megan Scully is with me, the freelance broadcaster. Aideen Finnegan is here as well. Aideen's a journalist, producer of the Conversations with Parents podcast for the Irish Times. And David Hall, who's the CEO of iCare Housing and of Lifeline Services. You're all very, very welcome.
Thanks
a million
for inviting us.
For popping into us. I mean, what are we, kind of 48 hours to go and we'll all be furiously voting, David. How would you reflect on the campaign thus far?
Well, I would say, firstly, you're going to have some crackhead nuts into Marconi House after this, looking at Christmas trees and cars and little mini burgers and stuff. So we've got a big, tall...
People here don't realise how grim Marconi House is compared to the five-star surroundings.
Yeah, suffice it to say...
Don't give it away.
This is the gig, yeah. No, once I saw the Christmas trees and the cars and the room and burgers, elections are now irrelevant. So we'll have some crackhead... Marconi House is absolutely... Anyway, it's a lovely building. 48 hours, talking to Catherine Murphy, like a wonderful public representative, going back out, putting her runners on to get back out on the campaign trail tonight. It's very difficult. It's very even. It's very clear. The leaders' debates have been utterly boring, with no drama there at all. Unfortunately, Simon created the only bit of drama on Friday in an unfortunate mess up. But I think this is going to be very, very difficult, very, very tight, very, very close. And everyone says this every single election. And it sounds like Ivan Yates are going on and on and on, the same thing. But this is going to be difficult because people, I find this time around, are a little bit more comfortable than they were before. There's always going to be a cohort of people who are always going to be neglected. And the state and politicians have forever more neglected that cohort of people, and it will rarely change. I think for me, the left haven't come forward as the left. And they haven't come as a cohesive unit to offer a credible alternative to government. And I think on Sunday, when everything's battled out, that will come a big challenge for them.
Megan, as a kind of a punter watching this, not from afar, but you know, not necessarily the way I would be watching it, having to cover it every day, has it been an engaging campaign? Is it kind of one that's passed people by, do you feel?
I've watched all the debates and I've been trying to follow as much of the politicians as possible just to see what everyone is saying. And the one thing that strikes me anytime I watch or listen to a debate is how often they speak over each other and how it's just so rude. And someone's making a point and then suddenly I can't understand what the point is because the other one has started speaking over them. I think it's just a bit of clarity would go a long way, allowing each person the time to speak without speaking over each other. I think it's incredibly rude and unprofessional. And I just find every day it's getting more and more confusing. I don't know if everyone is the same out here, but every day it's like someone comes out with a new point or a new campaign or a new policy. And I find even I'm talking to people on social media, I'm like asking people, just said straight out, what do you think of it all? And everyone's like, well, I haven't really got a clue. I'm actually not going to vote. And I was like, well, that's not really the good thing to do. If you could vote, it'd be great. But it just seems everyone's kind of just fed up, really. Mm-hmm. And fed up of the way that the debates have been because they just haven't been very concise.
Aideen, politicians all like to imagine that the voting public are responding to their manifestos and their policies. But they're not. I mean, to use a kind of 2024 word, they're responding to a vibe, aren't they?
Oh, this is definitely the election of the vibe, for sure. Because I think as well, so in the US election, obviously, there was a huge amount of talk about the economy. And the US economy is quite strong, but it was actually the cost of living and inflation that people meant when they were talking about the economy. And I think we have that element here, but there isn't the same jeopardy and there isn't the same culture war. So I think it's just been a lot blander and a lot less sort of stoking the imagination of many people. And they are definitely relying on the vibe. And I think the vibe at the moment is...
Which would suggest possibly a low turnout on Friday.
I think that's possibly true. Like, I think there's a huge amount of people. The housing is definitely appears to be the biggest. I think we thought the cost of living and immigration might feature more highly. And it is in the top number of concerns that voters have, according to many polls, including our own in the Irish Times. But it is housing. And I think there's a huge amount of people for whom that issue is very live. And yet, the voting system we have, you have to think about whether you're going to vote for the party because you think the party is going to be the person, or they're going to be the group that changes that for you. In your constituency, you don't really know the TD, but they're in that party and you vote for them anyway. And I think probably that's a lot of the reason why people get a bit sort of apathetic as well. It's like, I don't know your man, I don't know your one, but like, I know that this party. The gas thing about the housing issue is, though, that so many of them agree on what needs to be done. There's a little bit of differentiation.
The Housing Commission took the wind out of opposition sails to a degree in that regard. They all committed to kind of hitting the same targets, effectively. Different ways of getting there. But, David, I'm not sure. I think people, and I made this point earlier in the debate, most people are agnostic about how you get there. They just want to know, is there going to be a house where I live that's relatively affordable?
Yeah, I think anyone who's bought a house understands a singular house, the challenges that are involved, bidding, being outbid. Do you trust everyone involved in the process and the planning process involved? The bureaucracy involved in purchasing a property, applying for a loan, is absolutely staggering in Ireland. Staggering. Like Icar Housing, we just bought our 600th house today, and I had hair before we began the process. But it is a ferociously difficult challenge. And everyone wants to house people where we've got a shameful number of people in emergency accommodation and homeless in the state. But give you an example, we've 6 empty properties at the moment that are built, constructed and built in Edenmore in Dublin. They're not occupied. And why aren't they not occupied? Because there's no direct intervention from the state with Irish Water and the ESB. So for social homes, we join the exact same queue as everybody else. So with all the waffle, all the spin, all of the emphasis that everyone has on these magical, mythical bricks and mortar, bricks and mortar are only part of the component. The bureaucracy involved is absolutely outstanding. And until such time as all of the small dots are joined, some of the big dots won't be joined. And I think there's a lot of noise about housing. I think if you were to ask any person, what are the differences between the three main parties and all of the other parties, you'd be hard-pressed to actually get some specific information from them.
Yeah. Megan, who has had a good campaign, do you think? Who's had a bad campaign? Maybe I'll ask you that.
I don't know. I just think they, as kind of Dave mentioned there, like all the policies are very similar, so it's kind of hard to see. No one, I don't know if anyone's really stood out, but I suppose if I had to say, like a lot of people are talking about Social Democrats. I see a lot of their coverage on social media. I seem to see them a lot more. I don't know, is that they're very engaged in it. You're kind of saying they're aiding, like, you know, how about the vibe? So I guess I'm on Instagram a lot and I'm seeing a lot of the Soc Dems across Instagram. The independents, they seem to be coming up quite strong. In our house, we got 2 leaflets so far. And I haven't.
Is that all? You've had no canvassers at the door, no?
No, just 2 leaflets through the door. I live in the countryside and it was just 2. I was kind of hoping, I was looking forward to chatting to someone. But nobody came, so they just 2 come in the door. So I actually had to Google, because I'm Galway East, so I was like, Galway East candidates. And what I've been doing now is just going onto their websites and reading their manifestos, reading the documents that they have up there, because I'm not actually meeting any of them.
So you are one of these people who's actually voting based on policy and manifesto. Well, what's wrong with the vibe? Well, we decided it's a vibe election. Come on.
I suppose historically, I probably did the same thing that my parents and grandparents would have done, which is we all vote for the same party all the way down. And I think one of the first few times, I think the very first time I voted, I went in with my mother and I remember saying to her, who am I voting for? Because I hadn't a clue. But I had just turned 18. I thought, this is great. I finally have a vote. Whereas nowadays, I try to do a bit more research. But I find sometimes I kind of go and, Who is she voting for? I wonder who she's voting for, because sometimes I was getting a bit confused. But this time I'm like, no, this is it now. I'm reading it all on my own. I'm not asking any opinion of anyone else. I'm going to make up my own mind and go in there on the day. And it's interesting, though, because I have been speaking online to people, and I was chatting to this lady who has been speaking to young voters around the university, and they all said that they are they've actually changed their plans this weekend to make sure they're home to vote. So there's definitely a change. And it sounds like they're actually doing research on their own. They're not asking their parents, who are you voting for?
And is housing the primary issue that's motivating them? Or what like amongst, say, that age cohort, what motivates the direction they vote?
Housing and affordability. Housing in terms of students having nowhere to live and trying to find places to live. And of course, affordability, because the prices are extortionate. And then for their future selves, about owning and buying a house, which seems completely unattainable to them.
One feature of this campaign has been the attempt by the Taoiseach AD to turn it into something of a presidential campaign. You know, let's make this about kind of leadership. And it's difficult to kind of quantify how well or otherwise that works in our system, because, you know, you're only partly voting for the party. You're also voting for the person who's going to kind of you know, finish the ring road around Kilkenny.
Completely.
I don't know whether that's Simon Harris or anyone else.
And I suppose when I was mentioning there as well about looking at election posters.
For any canvassers who are calling to my house, that's obviously the number one issue. Finish the ring road, please.
The Greens have something to say with you about that.
They can put a bike lane or a Lewis on it. A circular Lewis.
Yes, please. Lewis is everywhere. I think when you're looking around at the posters and you're like, I don't really know who that is and I don't recognise that name. And then it really hits you that really the decisions are made by a very small number of people in Leinster House at the cabinet table, essentially. So, I suppose Simon Harris turning it into a presidential election, it was an interesting one because he really played the social media card in a way that hasn't been done before. And he's known as the TikTok Taoiseach. And that same sort of interest in it, it has kind of been a bit of his undoing in the last few days with the viral moment he had with Charlotte Fallon in Kanturk. That said, you know, it does bring a bit of liveliness to it because I think it has been such a... If you're following it very closely, there's been a few interesting twists and turns. Right out the gap, you had the whole Michael O'Leary comments. Then there was Fine Gael's travails with John McGahan. And then more recently, obviously, the altercation. It wasn't an altercation. The confrontation, I suppose, that was had. Those are the things that have in any way livened up the and I don't even think they're the same kind of moments that we're all waiting for that water cooler moment, and it's not going to arrive, I don't think. Maybe it'll be over the weekend, maybe it'll be next week afterwards when we find out who's going to have to talk to each other. But I think turning it into a presidential election has been a way to is the only way to kind of capture people who are relying on the vibe, as you said.
There's an awful lot of undecideds still, according to the polls and the Irish Times poll as well, that caught so many people, particularly in Fine Gael on the hop, when it came out earlier this week, David, which I'm kind of surprised by, that the level of undecideds, given how kind of baked in all the various party policies have been. This election didn't kind of come as a surprise. We've known it's been coming for about 6 or 9 months. They've kind of been campaigning effectively for 6 or 9 months.
But I think the key part is, what's the difference? There's been no dramatic difference. There's been no really significant difference around housing, around health, immigration and cost of living during the local elections. Is an enormous issue. Seems to have pittered away. And now we're back to housing. And
so you compare that, say, because you ran in a by-election in 2014. And,
Stop.
But we were kind of mired in recession then. So there was real stark differences being offered by parties as to how to deal with it. You know, we were not long out of the kind of burn the bondholders versus no, let's go with a kind of a troika programme and best boys in class, and that's the best way out of it. You know, there were real differences on offer. And what you're suggesting is we're at the point now with this kind of tiny difference.
Yeah, in certain communities, like the by-election that I would have run for was like the biggest counselling system and service I've ever seen, because you took you so long to get around. People had huge, genuine, and massive issues affected their lives and a massive and level of indebtedness. But now, the significant number of people, any of the polls are looked at there at the moment, reflect it clearly. The undecideds in the Irish Times, 28%. An enormous number of people still undecided. If you look at over 3 million to vote, 1 million voters undecided. And I think that's a testament to many people that are a little bit comfortable. Aideen mentioned, like, is it a party? Is it the local person you're going to vote for? All politics are local. I'd love to have an election for the officials as opposed to those sitting around the cabinet table, those who really pull the strings, see how many of those will get elected. So I think there's a significant level of lack of clarity from some of those policies. A lot of noise in different areas, a lot of similarities. And I also think people don't know who's going to talk to whom next week. This is like a schoolyard.
Yeah.
Who's going to talk to who? Who's going to take whose homework? Who's going to copy whose homework? And many people think, look at the manifestos. Where in the world do we run a national election and 10 days in announce your manifesto, or a week in, have a debate whether your manifesto launched, wait to see what someone else has said, cog it, change it, and even get it wrong then. So there's a significant amount, and you say, this is months in the making, we've known about this. So some of this stuff has been amateur hour carry on, and many people are way more mature than they used to be, are way more considerate in looking at things and considering what's in their best interest and what is the effective issue at the moment. And I don't think there's enough clarity around housing and health and the inherent cost of living that's there. It's a very expensive country still to live in.
Megan, do you get the sense from amongst your peer group that because you mentioned social media and the candidates you're seeing on it, and
they didn't call to Meghan's house because they saw her Instagram and didn't think she was there. She's wondering why they didn't call.
I know.
She's gone somewhere on Instagram.
There was the opening of an envelope.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. She didn't turn up, so there's no point in going there. Or they're terrified she'd say something about them.
Is that the medium through which people are getting their information?
Yes, actually, because I have spoken to people and asked them, and they said that it is predominantly through Instagram, and they're just seeing what people are sharing. And then they said from that they might click onto websites and tune in to radio and TV debates. I think a lot of people did tune into TV debates, especially people who maybe were following on social media and those who were undecided. But no, it is social media where they are getting their main information. So I guess that's why there's a lot of pressure on candidates to make sure that they all have social media managers now, and creating TikToks and, you know, creating all these videos, because they're trying to get out to the audience. But I think if you're inauthentic on social media, it's very easy to spot. And I think you have to be careful, because if you're dealing with the Gen Zs and the millennials who are very up to date with social media, they're going to know if you're being inauthentic. And that's what I think they need to realise as well.
Will we have a government before Christmas, do you suspect?
Ooh, tricky one. You're asking me to call it right now.
You don't tell me who's going to be in it. Do you think we will have a new government before Christmas?
Yes, I think so.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do.
David?
100%. These people who are running for the all want power. Some want to sit in their backsides for a few years, that's fine. But
some people
majority,
like dance. Some people enjoy the foreplay, David.
But they do kiss in the end.
Right. Megan?
Well, do you know what? I think they're going to want to have as a stress-free Christmas dinner. And if they're going to be going to Mass on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, they don't want to be inundated with questions. So I think they're going to try have it in place so they can try and enjoy somewhat peaceful Christmas.
Nice to be mentioned by the parish priest as the new minister as well, wouldn't it be? Anyway, listen, on that note, huge thanks to Megan Scully, the freelance broadcaster, to Aideen Finnegan, journalist, producer of the Conversations with Parents podcast from the Irish Times, and to David Hall, CEO of iCare Housing and the CEO of Lifeline Services. Folks, listen, thanks a million. Thanks for joining us here.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.